Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you've reached out to us in grace, that you've shown your heart of love in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've drawn us to realize that you are right when we so often get it wrong, and that you are absolutely trustworthy. And so we pray that you will help those of us who are already followers of Jesus to rejoice in your amazing grace this morning. And would you be so good if there's anyone here who's not yet trusting in Jesus to open the eyes of their understanding too, that they may join us in worshiping you, in following you, in trusting you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the text that I've got this morning, as I got a sweetie for telling you, is Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and verse 15. Let me read it to you. If you've got a Bible and you want to look at Mark's gospel, that would be very helpful. But here it is. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe, but it's something quite specific that we're told to believe. It's repent and believe the good news. It's not just believing. It's believing something. So what I want us to do to start with is to see what it is that Jesus is telling us to believe. What is this good news? And then we'll think about what it means to believe, and then we'll think about what it means to repent. So this is specially designed for the Irish. We're working backwards, right? So it's repent and believe the good news, but we'll start at the end because that's actually the important place to begin here. What is this good news? Or if you've got an older version, it'll be gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Well, this word that's translated good news or gospel, it comes from a word, euangelion. If you want the Greek, it's the word that we get evangel from, or evangelist, or evangelical. You notice on the way into church, it's evangelical church. Well, this is where it comes from. It's a word that means good news. Euangelion just means the U bit means good. We know the word euthanasia, for example. That's supposed to be a good death. The U is the good bit. And angelion, that's where we get angels from. Yeah, and angels are those who come, look, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Yeah, that's what angels do. They're announcers. They're God's messengers. So it's a good announcement, good news. That's the word that we're thinking about. So what is this good news? Well, this was a word that was in common use in the culture of the day. In the Roman Empire, if something really good happened in the emperor's life, it was announced as good news. But also, this word, good news, has got Bible roots in the Old Testament. And I think that's what's really important here. So that in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, you read this in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Now, when John the Baptist came, initially proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand, because it means the same thing, by the way. Matthew is the one who uses the kingdom of heaven. That's just because Jews would tend not to use the name of God directly. So it's a way of talking about heaven's reign, which means God's reign. It means exactly the same thing. God's reign is at hand. And it's bringing out echoes of this Old Testament announcement of the good news. Your God reigns. That's the good news that Isaiah is telling us about. It's the good news of God. The time is, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, or the good news of God. That's the only time that you get this phrase in the Gospels, but it's something that the Apostle Paul picks up in the letter to the Romans, and he talks about the gospel of God. And it could mean that this is good news about God. In fact, I think it does mean it's good news about God, but it could also mean this is God's good news. And I think it means that too. God's good news is good news about God. This is something that we need to discover, that the kingdom of God, God's reign, has come near. It's good news to know that God's in control, that he's reigning, that he's the king. But what does it mean that his kingdom has come near? Well, the very first verse of Mark's gospel reads this: the beginning of the good news, or the gospel, about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah, or the Christ. Messiah comes from the Hebrew, Christ comes from the Greek, but both words just mean God's anointed one, God's promised anointed king. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And if you read in the Old Testament, the Son of God was often a title that was given to the kings. They were sons of God. So it's a royal title, but Jesus, as we discover, is God's actual son. So God's Messiah, God's Christ, God's anointed king, is no one less than the Son of God who has come and appeared on earth. In other words, God's king has come near, bringing his reign at hand. You don't get any closer to the reign of God when the king actually sets foot on earth. God's kingdom has come near, is at hand, because people could reach out and touch him. It's as simple as that. The reign of God had come near because the king, Jesus, had come to earth. God's kingdom is near because the king had come. Jesus is Lord. You know, the big message in the Roman Empire was, Caesar is Lord. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus is Lord. It's not any world ruler, not Caesar in Rome in the Roman Empire, not the leader of the free world who happens to live in the house, the White House, or anybody else. They might think that they're the most important person, but they're not. And dear me, isn't that good news? You know, Jesus is Lord. He's the king. We can go to the end of the story, if you like, and you see in the book of Revelation who is reigning. It's the throne of God and of the Lamb. Jesus is Lord. To know who the king is and to know this is what he is like, well, that is good news indeed. If you want to see how good the good news is, just carry on reading in Mark's gospel. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. But there's a whole lot more to discover. And that's what we're called to believe. This good news about Jesus. John was saying in the quiz, if you don't know the answer, go for Jesus. You're almost certainly going to be right. But actually, this is it. You want to know what the good news is? In one word, it's Jesus. He is the good news, because this is God's reign come near to show us just how good it is to know that God is still on the throne. He never got off it. But he is a God of grace and love and kindness, who'd much rather forgive us and accept us than condemn us. It's good news. It's the good news of God. So what are we to do? Believe in the good news. Now, of course, we know that today we're surrounded by fake news. They used to say the camera never lies. That's because they couldn't make it lie in those days. Now, you know, you can make pictures say anything and words say anything, and people don't necessarily mean the same thing by the words that we think that they mean. We live in a day of fake news, and the only way that you can believe what someone says is if you trust the person. That's really what it comes down to, isn't it? Do we trust the person who's speaking? Believing, you know, who are you to believe? It's a matter of personal trust. So, after John was put in prison, back to our text, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The question that we need to ask is, can you trust Jesus? For that matter, can you trust God? Is he trustworthy? Now, I can't just say to you, believe it. What I would want to encourage anyone to do is not to say, okay, can I drum up enough faith to believe that Jesus is trustworthy, that I can trust God? That's not going to get you anywhere. Believing is not about how strongly I can believe. It's about discovering how trustworthy he is. In other words, by getting to know him. So this is the beginning of the good news. I would just encourage you to read on in Mark's gospel and to see just what Jesus is like. You know, is he the sort of person you can trust? Get to know him. Is he trying to pull the wool over people's eyes? Or is this someone who is actually thoroughly reliable and trustworthy? That's what we need to do if we're going to believe the good news, to discover that we've got someone here that we can trust. And that's certainly my conviction, that Jesus is utterly trustworthy. Can you trust God? That's actually the big message of that letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. It's all about, can you trust God? Because he's made all of these promises in the Old Testament. Does he keep them? And what Paul is doing in that letter is showing how God has faithfully dealt with his people Israel, keeping his promises, so that we know that God can be trusted. And if God can be trusted, well, trust him. And as John was bringing out, Abram believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's what God has been doing all through the Old Testament. That's not the gospel, by the way. That's the message of the Bible beginning to end. It's a matter of trust God, and he counts us as righteous. But the good news is that Jesus is God's King, and he is the one who fulfills all the promises. And when we trust in him, it's all right. You see, God deals consistently all the way through the scriptures. When he says something, you can trust him. He does it. He means it. And if we discover, we've got a whole Bible to see God's track record of being faithful to his word. Once we discover how trustworthy God is, then we find we trust him. You see how it works? It's not a matter of, you know, trying hard, I've got to believe the unbelievable. It's a matter of, look, see what God has shown about himself. What an amazing God. What a faithful God. What a God who when he says it, he does it. You can trust someone like this. You can trust someone who commits himself in love to a lost world to the extent that he is prepared to give his own son to be the fulfillment of all the sacrifices so that we can be right with God. Do you see? The whole Old Testament is there to prepare the way to help us to see, yeah, you can trust God and He loves us that much. God is faithful. He's trustworthy, so we can trust Him. But each of us needs to find that out for ourselves. You know, please don't take my word for it, because I know I'm not nearly as reliable as God. You know, don't trust me. Being truthful, but you know, you don't know me that well. I could be one of these fake news artists around the place as well, couldn't I? Don't trust me. We need to discover this for ourselves. And it's as we dig into the Bible, as we read together, even if you're not somebody who's great at reading books, don't worry about that. Just grab somebody and say, can we, for the next few weeks, read the Bible together? And sit down and read the Bible, and then, until the lights come on, you have that sense of, yeah, I can trust this Jesus. I can trust God. It's good news. It really is. And as we get to know Him, we find that we can trust Him. The depth of our questioning and asking and reading will give us strong and firm foundations. Because if we know that this is the good news of God, we can believe Him. And that will last, not just for a lifetime, but for eternity. The more you read, the more you discover, the more you realize that He is trustworthy, and so we can believe in Jesus. So what's our final word? Repent. Well, this is one that people struggle a bit more with, because it's not an easy word. In one sense, repenting is realizing you've got it wrong. So feeling sorry and changing direction and turning. And yeah, it definitely has all of that in it. But the word that's translated repent basically means to have a complete change of mindset. That's the idea here. It's related to believing. In fact, it's the other side of the same coin. Believing the good news changes the way we think about God and changes the way that we think about everything. And then once we've got this new mindset, that changes the way we live. It's a change that works from the inside out. The word repent is quite literally, the Greek word is metanoio. You don't need to know that. But the meta bit is in metamorphosis and things like that. That's the change. But it's the nous. It's your head. Change the way you think, so you change the way you live. That's the idea of this word, repent. Now, it's true, generally, of course, that we've got it wrong. And we need to repent. Change the way we think. Change the way we live. There are lots of things that we've done wrong, and we need to turn round from that. But the key turning point is what we think about Jesus. Now, somebody very helpfully got the answer right about who was speaking about this on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter. By the way, Peter is probably the voice that's behind Mark's gospel. Mark probably was writing down the gospel the way that Peter used to preach it. So Peter is one of the strong voices, one of the people who was close to Jesus. And this is what he said on the day of Pentecost, that very passage that John drew our attention to. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. That's the big climax message of the sermon, the day of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit had been poured out in the church. What's been going on here? It's because God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. So it was the combination of the Jewish people with the Roman authorities. They crucified Jesus. In other words, humanity killed him. But God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." You, your children, all those who are far off, that includes us, by the way. Yeah? "For all whom the Lord will call, this promise stands. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins." Repent. You got it wrong. You got it wrong about Jesus. That was the big message on the day of Pentecost. You crucified him, but God raised him to life and has declared him to be the Son of God in power by raising him from the dead. Realize what a big mistake it is to turn your back on Jesus. That's the point of repentance. That's the biggest mistake. But what God is saying is, even though you blow it completely, there's an opportunity to change. Change the way you think, and it'll change the way you think about everything. Change the way you think about Jesus, and that changes everything completely and leads to a new way of living. Repent. Believe the good news. The one whom you rejected is Lord. God raised him from the dead. Death is defeated. Sins can be forgiven because Jesus has died for our sins. You know, the whole Old Testament helps us to see how this works because you've got God's picture book of the sacrifices and the tabernacle and the temple and the priests and all that sort of stuff. They're there to help us to see, yeah, forgiveness needs blood to be shed. And now here, says John, look, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God's done it. Jesus' death was needed because that's how the world gets forgiven for everyone who believes in him. He's done it this way. He had to die. But God raised him from death to show us that death's not the end. Death's grip has been defeated through the death of Jesus, and God has raised him to life so that we know we don't need to fear anything. We can be forgiven, and we can have this life of the age to come starting now. And receive the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, to bring the life of Jesus into our lives. Now, to unpack this, repent and believe the good news, could take us hours. In fact, that's what the whole of the New Testament is doing. It's unpacking this gospel for us. But the good news starts here. In Jesus, God's reign has come near. That's the point of his miracles, by the way. Healing people, raising the dead, stilling the storm. It was to show this is heaven's reign. God, the King, is actually walking on earth. He's the King. He's in control. The good news is that our God reigns, that Jesus is his promised King. Believe it. And it changes the way you think about everything. And that changes your values, your priorities, and your lifestyle. Because he is the most important reality from here on in. Repent. Change the way you think, and it'll change the way you live. But it's not just a matter of, right, I'm going to think differently. It's realizing who Jesus is, what God is like. And once we realize he's not what I thought he was, this is who he is. Once we believe that, it changes the way we think so we can change the way we live. The power to bring about faith and repentance is from God. We need to trust in him, not just believe something. It's believing and trusting because he's trustworthy. This is the way that the Apostle Paul put it as he was speaking in Athens. He said these things. Acts 17, verse 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we shouldn't think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. Lots of people have got all sorts of ideas about what the divine is or what God is. Well, whatever people think, that's not it. This is it. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now, he commands all people everywhere to repent, to change the way you think. So you change the way you live. For he has set a day when he will judge the world by justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is the key that helps us to see that though he was rejected by human beings, God has declared him to be the Son of God in power. This is what shows us that it's all true, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Mark is just the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. But what a beginning. What we can do is pick it up and discover for ourselves that this is true. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now Jesus has come, that changes everything. So, repent and believe the good news. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you.